On this Sabbath day, I would like to speak about doctrine. Who needs it? Doctrine is an unpopular word these days. Comparatively, few Christians wish to discuss doctrine. The buzzword of this generation is experience. As the charismatic wave sweeps country after country, these or similar, all too familiar words will be heard. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you haven't. So don't talk to me about doctrine, because I know. The Holy Spirit teaches me all I need to know about doctrine. He shows me what is right and what is wrong. It's experience that counts, not obsolete doctrine. Now, my message is not attempting to dismiss another's experience. Rather, it is an attempt to set the record straight on the vital issue of doctrine. What is doctrine anyway? The Oxford Dictionary defines the word doctrine as a principle or set of principles and beliefs held by a religious or political or other group. Now, Jesus Christ taught sound doctrine. Strange as it may seem, Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, only taught doctrine. In fact, all religious instruction of whatever faith is based on doctrine, on a set of principles. I'm sure no religious leader worthy of his position would advocate abandoning religious principles, doctrine. But again, I ask, what is sound doctrine? The answer is, sound doctrine is the unique set of religious principles which originated from Yahweh, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Sound doctrine, in short, is the set of principles by which the Almighty lives. They form an integral part of his character, and he alone has the right to define them. True believers may subsequently adopt and teach those sacred principles, but only the Almighty has the authority to define them because they originated from him. When Yahweh's Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, came to earth, he confirmed this fact. He practiced and taught his Father's doctrines, nothing else. All his sermons were based on the religious principles he had learned from his Heavenly Father. They were not his own ideas. They were his Father's. Listen to the Savior's own testimony. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 16. John chapter 7, verse 16 reads, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The Savior's famous Sermon on the Mount is an example of his Father's doctrine. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why is divine doctrine so important? The answer is because Yahweh's principles motivate all his actions and laws. They give us insight into his plans and methods. Consequently, when you study divine law, you are also studying the motivating principles and will of the Almighty God. You are studying eternal principles which uphold and govern the present and the future universe. No subject could possibly compare with the study of divine law, for it is the study of Yahweh's own character. Now let's talk about the doctrines of men. Sad to say, the self-worshipping human mind thought it could do better than the Almighty. It began to conceive doctrines of its own. In this message, these are called man-made doctrines. Yes, believe it or not, man set about to design his own doctrines, his own principles, his own laws, and standards of morality. It wasn't long before the church joined in and jettisoned long-established biblical principles, doctrines, handed down by the prophets and apostles of old. The church adopted the doctrines of men, and to each incoming doctrine it gave a Christian title. Let me list a few of the doctrines the church adopted from heathenism. Mother and child worship. This began in ancient Babylon and spread to the ends of the earth. Christmas. This popular festival came directly from paganism. Sunday observance. The weekly rest day of sun-worshipping pagans. Infant baptism. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find infants being baptized. Jesus Christ was baptized at the age of 30 years. In scriptures, infants are dedicated, not baptized. Adults are baptized. The rosary, another practice adopted from paganism. The sign of the cross. The same sign of the cross that Rome now worships was used in Babylonian mysteries. was applied by paganism to the same magic purposes, was honored with the same honors. That which is now called the Christian cross was originally no Christian emblem at all, but the mystic tall of the Chaldeans and the Egyptians. The true original form of the letter T, the initial of the name Tammuz. These are a few of the man-made doctrines the fallen church adopted as it jettisoned the sacred doctrine of the Almighty God. It is quite impossible to tell the catastrophic effect this action had on the human race. Church leaders thought that by accommodating pagan ideas and doctrine, it would attract souls to its fold. It certainly did. But millions in the church are still in darkness as far as the truth is concerned. Who knows how many or few of these teeming millions will make it to the kingdom of God? The result of this tragic policy is that the world is in moral darkness and almost on the point of self-destruction. The church has rejected the living waters of Yahweh's truth and embraced paganism instead. This is the underlying cause of humanity's problems. And this is why most worship in and out of the church is vain and futile. They not only stifle life, but their long-term effect is virtual impotency in every sector of human society. Hearken to the Savior's words in Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 7, concerning the doctrines of men. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. What does this verse mean for this generation? It means this. If we attempt to worship the Creator in a way that He has not authorized, no matter how popular or exciting that way may happen to be, our worship is vain, worthless, and a total waste of time. We may dance around in Baal-like frenzy. We may beat the air, laugh, sing, shout, clap, or collapse in ecstatic delirium. But we will accomplish nothing of any value, no matter how feverishly we work at it. Because the fact is, worship that is not based on genuine faith and obedience to the commandments of God is vain, futile, and worthless worship. That is what the Scriptures teach. What about the doctrines of the Nicolaitans? False doctrine always leads to sin, and more often than not, to sexual sin. Indeed, that is the very reason why Satan works so hard at getting mankind to adopt falsehood. But Yahweh hates false doctrine. Therefore, no matter how attractive or exciting false doctrine may appear, it must be put out of our lives. Only then will we be able to stand in the day of judgment. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who are the Nicolaitans? According to the Westminster Dictionary of the Bible, page 427, they were a party or sect in the churches of Ephesus and Pergamos, whose practice and doctrine are severely censored. Following the doctrine of Balaam, they taught that Christians were free to eat things offered to idols and to commit the excesses of heathenism. Check out Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, also 14 and 15. Contrary to the command issued by the Apostolic Council held in Jerusalem, A.D. 50, you can check that out with Acts chapter 15, verse 29. A sect of Nicolaitans existed among the Gnostics of the third century. They too taught the freedom of the flesh. In other words, the Nicolaitans introduced sexual freedom into their worship. Their man-made doctrines, initially inspired by the false prophet Balaam, appeared quite harmless at first, but it wasn't long before they were involved in illegal sexual acts. Let me repeat, false doctrine always leads to sin. Yahweh's doctrine. The Savior taught sound doctrine, the spiritual principles he had learned from his heavenly Father. Never did he conceive a doctrine of his own, though he often needed to magnify, explain, and demonstrate his Father's doctrines and the laws based on them. Here is proof of this astonishing fact. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 16. John chapter 7, verse 16 reads, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. What is the key to understanding sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is best understood by the obedient, by those who really want to do the Father's will. You have absolutely no chance whatsoever of appreciating the value of true spiritual principles and divine law if you blatantly practice sin. Let me repeat, only the obedient understand the Father's will. Read Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Also, John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. What about the doctrine of devils? Devils are evil angels who have revolted against the Almighty. They are spirit beings, and they possess enormous power. In the distant past, millions of evil angels rejected Yahweh's authority and his laws. Ever since, they have done their utmost to ruin his creation and his work. The Holy Spirit warns us about the increased activity of evil spirits, devils, in the days just prior to the return of Jesus Christ to earth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. One such doctrine of devils is enforced celibacy. Another is to forbid eating meat. Verse 3. These two doctrines are widespread in pagan lands where they originated. They are classified in Scripture as the doctrines of devils. Sad to say, the Christian church adopted these two doctrines. The tragic consequences of this adoption continues to this day in communities around the world. Should we preach sound doctrine? We are commanded to preach sound doctrine. The world is perishing because of a lack of sound doctrine. Those divine principles which teach us how to regulate our behavior. The popular church has departed from the doctrines of the Bible and are now wallowing in the unclean doctrines of men and angels. Because of this, sin in its myriad forms is smothering the life out of billions of souls. We dare not remain silent, even if it means upsetting some listeners, a reaction I deeply regret. Jesus Christ taught sound doctrine. Turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 22. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces. The apostles taught sound doctrine. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Now let's learn about some scriptural advice concerning true doctrine. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 reads, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16, Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Second John chapter 1. Second John chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Turn to 2 John chapter 1, verse 10. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Second Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Now, in summary, sound doctrine is a set of moral principles which come from Yahweh, the Almighty God of Israel. They form the basis of his character, his will, and his laws. Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, always taught sound doctrine, which he received from his heavenly Father. He never introduced a single doctrine of his own, but always magnified his Father's law in order that mankind would appreciate their meaning. Sad to say, the Christian church set aside the doctrines of the Almighty and adopted in their place the doctrines of men and angels, Sunday observance, Christmas, Easter, Ash Wednesday, relic worship, celibacy of the priesthood, and so on. Teaching and living by the doctrines of men results in vain, futile, and worthless worship. Believers may delude themselves and each other, but we cannot delude the Almighty God of Israel. The Savior's warning was, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. This applies to all false doctrine be it of men or angels. The Bible, the living Word of God, admonishes us to live by sound doctrine, the principles of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you really wish to understand the will of the Almighty, you must begin to obey His commandments, which are simply the divine definitions of His very own principles. You may have had some very exciting experiences. I'll not doubt them. But if you are relying on personal experiences instead of the Word of God, then you are in for a big surprise on the soon coming day of judgment. Amen.